So with that, guys, we're going to just jump right into our scripture this morning. So find yourself in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I'll give you a second to find your way there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, it says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So today, what are we talking about? Today we're going to look at the early church and how the early church was all in on generosity. Today is about generosity. And what we've just read tells us today that the early church was a generous church. I don't think we can deny that the early church was generous. And I believe at the end of today, this is what we're going to be able to conclude from today's message and the scriptures, that a community filled with the Holy Spirit. So a community, a church, a body that is filled with the Holy Spirit will demonstrate its commitment through selfless generosity, which embodies the heart of God. So I know sermons on generosity can be tough to hear because, oh, he's going to tell me to be generous today. I'm just passing the message along, but it's evident throughout Scripture. And here's the truth of it. I love you all too much to not talk to you about generosity. Amen. I'm going to demonstrate that here in a minute, but this isn't about pressure. This is not pressure coming from the pulpit. Rather, this is opening ourselves up for the Holy Spirit to come in and transform our hearts. It's about transformation. Okay? Our first point this morning is generosity starts with the heart. It's a heart condition. Just like we did our worship last week, it starts in the heart. Generosity starts with the heart. In fact, you can write this down, Matthew 6, verse 21. It says this, where your treasure is, does anyone want to finish it? There your heart will be also. See, Jesus tells us that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, he's saying what you value most is where your heart naturally leans. What you value most is where your heart naturally leans. So if we treasure comfort, if we treasure success or stuff, who needs more stuff? That's why we're having a free garage sale so you can get rid of stuff. If we treasure comfort, success, or stuff, that's where our focus will stay. That is what our focus will be on. But if we treasure what matters to God, like people, like His mission, eternity, guess what? Our hearts will be drawn to those things. So this isn't about money alone. This is not about being generous with our money. It's about what shapes our priorities and our affection. What shapes our priorities and our affections? See, the early church didn't just say they loved God. It's easy to say you love God, right? We can all say it together, I love God, right? It's another thing to show it. And the early church showed it through radical generosity. They gave freely. They even sold their possessions to meet needs. They sold their stuff. That is like me selling my motorcycle to give to somebody. When I think of that, I hadn't even thought about saying that until just this moment. That sounds absurd. Because there's nothing left to buy another motorcycle. What am I going to do? I got a pedal bike, but it doesn't go very fast. What if you sold your house and gave all the proceeds to somebody in need? That is the definition of radical, right? When we think about giving today, what do? We take out our wallet, we shell out a few bucks, we gave, we're good. The early church, they sold their possessions to meet needs because, this is key, their hearts weren't wrapped up in what they owned. Their treasure was in God's kingdom, and it showed in how they lived and how they gave. True generosity doesn't start with your bank account. It starts with the condition of your heart. Amen. And when your heart is devoted to God, generosity becomes a natural response. Generosity isn't about obligation, but instead, generosity is a response to our devotion to God. Do I need to say that again? Generosity isn't about obligation, but it is in response to our devotion to God. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, are we willing to live life open-handed? Are we willing to live life open-handed? Because when we live life with clenched fists, we try to control, we try to protect, but when we live open-handed, what we do is we create space for God to work in and through us. Now, if you're interested in volunteering this morning, I need you to raise your hand. I need a volunteer up here. Why'd you put your hand back down? Oh, yeah, I need you to do something, but up here. Come on, Johnny. He put his hand down. I got to make him come up. All right, here's your job. You are to stand here with your hands clenched. Okay. No matter what I say, you cannot clench your hands, okay? You cannot unclench your hands. You got to keep them clenched, okay? So, Johnny, what is this? A pen? It's a knife. It's a plastic. I took it from the kitchen. It's a plastic knife. Okay? If Johnny gets it, he can use it for his meal here in a little bit. But here's what I need from you, Johnny. I need you to pick up that knife with one clenched hand. No, no, don't put it between your knuckles. Your hand is clenched. Come on. Can you get it? Can you give it to me? I need it, though. Like that would be beneficial if I had that knife. Could you pick it up with the clenched hand? Thank you for doing that, because you drew attention to my untied shoe there. See, it's hard to do something for someone when you're living with your hands clenched. Right? Johnny, I've got something I'd like to give you. With clenched hands, I'd like you to take this dollar out of my hand. One hand. See, it's a real dollar. Listen, did you see that? Not only was it hard for him to try to give when I needed something, but it was hard for him to receive because he's living with his life in a clenched mindset. A clenched fist holds tightly, but it cannot receive anything new. But an open hand gives, but also receives. So Johnny, here's what I need you to do now. I need you to open your hands. Johnny, can you hand me that knife? I need that knife. Johnny, I have a dollar for you. Can you take that?
Yes, sir.
All right, round of applause for Johnny. Nope, go ahead. Give it to a kid. I don't care. It's your dollar. Dylan just assumed he was getting it. He just went right to Dad and snatched it. So I hope we understood the difference between approaching life with clenched hands versus open. We can't possibly give when this is how we hang on to our stuff. But we also can't receive from the Lord when we hang on to our stuff like that. Okay? So instead, will we live life with this open-handed mentality? Here's our second point for today. Generosity meets needs. Acts chapter 4, verse 34 through 35. It says this: "There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds, what was sold, and laid it all at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need." When Luke tells us, and what he tells us in Acts chapter 4, is that there were no needy people among them. He's not just stating a fact, but he's showing us the power of generosity driven by the Holy Spirit. The early church didn't give out of pressure. I cannot stress that enough. They didn't give out of pressure. They gave because the gospel had so boldly and deeply changed their lives. They gave out of response to the gospel. It changed their hearts in a way that nothing else could. And the early church couldn't imagine living in surplus while others were in lack. So this wasn't about wealth. It was about willingness. It's not about the size of your bank account. It's about willingness. It wasn't about charity. It was about family. They saw the church as their people. That is my hope and prayer for our church, and I think we do a very good job of this. But I would, and I know, oh, well, it's, you know, everybody says you're family at church. I really hope we are a family. Frankly, I do. I got to spend eternity in heaven with you. I better like you down here. And I say I to take the pressure off of you. You all better like everybody in here because we are family. We are all children of God. So there's that. So they couldn't imagine living their life in surplus while others lived in lack. And their generosity, here's a key thing too. Their generosity wasn't a donation, it was devotion. It was devotion to God. That's the kind of heart that Jesus desires in us today. Not to respond in donation, but to respond out of devotion to Him. See, generosity is practical. It looks like food. It looks like gas. It looks like money to pay bills. It looks like giving your time, or it looks like support. So generosity in itself is a very practical thing. And the question I have on this point for you today is, are you aware of needs around you? Are we aware of any needs that are around us today? And then a quick follow-up, do we care enough to respond? Do we care enough to respond to those needs? Has anybody heard the name Amy Carmichael before? She was a missionary in Northern Ireland who spent over 50 years in India without ever taking a break. There was no coming home and itinerating for a year and then go back for 4 years. She spent 50 years in India without a break. She saw children, especially young girls, being abused in temple rituals, and she gave her life to rescue and to raise them as her own. She founded the Donna Viewer Fellowship, a safe home for 1,000 children. It was all supported by faith and the generosity of others. There wasn't a board, it wasn't regular, it was completely off of faith and generosity. And Amy didn't have a lot. I did not know her until I found this about her. I'd never known anything, and, And so she gave everything that she had. She gave her time, she gave her health, her resources for the sake of love and the need of somebody. One of her most powerful quotes reflects her heart of sacrificial generosity, and I believe that it's just as impactful for us to hear it and to process what it is that she's saying here. She says, "You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving." You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. See, Amy's life reminds us that generosity isn't about how much we have. It's about how much we're willing to give when love leads the way. Our third point this morning is generosity multiplies joy. This morning we saw in our main scripture that the early church attended the temple together. They broke bread in their homes. They shared meals together. We're getting ready to go down and share a meal, aren't we? Soup, salads, desserts, bars. There's all kinds of stuff being carried in this morning. They broke bread in their homes and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Or maybe your version says, they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Your version may say that. Here's what I can put together from that, is generosity leads to joy, not regret. Generosity leads to joy, not regret. Because it's a privilege and not a chore to give. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." We all know that, right? That's a well-known verse. We know that. I want to expound on that verse a little bit, and I came across the perfect breakdown of it. This is not my work, but this was something I found online, and it breaks this down in such a way that it just fits perfect here. So that first part, each of you should give. This is personal. Paul is telling us that we each should give. Giving isn't just for the wealthy or a select few. It's for everyone who follows Christ. Generosity is a mark of discipleship, not financial strategy. The second line that they break down in that is, what have you decided? What you have decided in your heart to give. The Greek word for decided implies preparation and intention, not impulse. So Paul is pointing us to spirit-led giving, not emotional or pressured giving. Like maybe some of you thought I pressured you to give for breakfast on Easter Sunday. I hope that wasn't pressure, but rather it was a decision and spirit-led to give everybody time off from having to cook in the morning. It's not about the amount, is it? It was never about the amount. It's about the motive. I think it's Luke chapter 20, Luke chapter 21. Jesus is sitting and watching people put their offering in. And the wealthy come in and they throw their big bags in and make all the noise. And then the poor widow comes in and she drops in 2 coins. And Jesus says, "I tell you, she gave more than those who were throwing bags of money in." Because it's not about the money given, it's about the motive. God can do more with 2 pennies from those that only have 2 pennies than he can from $2 million from somebody who has $200 million. Now that math doesn't work, does it? That math doesn't make sense. But it's the motive. It is about the motive. Then the next part says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God is not interested in begrudging obedience. If you are holding a grudge as you are giving, don't give. Why? Your heart's not in the right place. That's giving without love. That's not the right place to give from. Reluctance says, I have to. Giving out of reluctance says, I have to give. Compulsion says, I'm being forced. Where true generosity says, I get to do this. Giving under pressure produces, guess what? Resentment. Giving under pressure produces resentment. Giving from love, guess what that produces? Worship, joy, continual generosity. And then he ends with this, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word here for cheerful is hilaros. Sounds awfully similar to our hilarious, right? But that's where we get our word hilarious, is from the Greek word hilaros. And it tells us this, God delights in the kind of giving that overflows with joy and freedom. Cheerful heart, a joyful heart. It is not just tolerated, instead it is actually loved by God. God loves a cheerful heart, a cheerful heart that gives, a cheerful giver. So when we give joyfully, guess what? We are reflecting the very heart and nature of God Himself. We don't give to get something. If we are giving to get something, we are giving for the wrong reason. Okay? We give because we already have something. Do you know what that is? The love of Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what the early church did. They did not give reluctantly. They did not give out of guilt. They gave gladly because the gospel had so changed their hearts. And guess what? Their hands followed their hearts. So what we can surmise from this is that joy isn't found in hoarding. It's found in giving. Joy isn't found in hoarding. Does anybody have a hoarding problem in here? Nobody wants to raise their hand. I wouldn't either. Guess what? Terry can come and help you go through and take all your stuff to the garage sale. So joy isn't found in hoarding, because that's that clenched fist idea, isn't it? I can't let go of all the things that I have. That's hoarding. But rather, joy is found in giving. Who likes to give gifts at Christmas more than they like to receive gifts? Come on. That's that very concept right there. So my question on this point for you today is this, is how do you see giving? Is giving a loss to you, or is giving a gain to you? See, it's a question for all of us to consider for how we make this applicable to our lives today. What is God asking you to give or to share this week? Is God prompting you in this moment, and is He suggesting that you give or share? It could be money, it could be of your time, it could be encouragement, and it could be a meal. Joel, if you want to make your way up. The early church, I believe, as I said, we could conclude at the end of this, the early church was marked by radical generosity because they were all in. They were willing to sell everything to make sure that people had what they needed. They didn't just talk about love, they showed it. As I'm reading my sermon this morning, I read my sermon several times on Saturday and then on Sunday mornings and pray through it, and I'm just sitting here thinking, man, if I had 400 acres of land, all of a sudden, I have 200 because I sold. I don't have that land anymore, right? Go back to selling of the motorcycle. It seems absurd because at some point, you run out. But when you put it into God's economy, you don't run out. It's just, He will meet your need every single time, period. The only evidence that I have of that is when I started to tithe. That first check was the hardest check I've ever written in my life. It's the easiest check to write now because I know that Jesus is at the helm. He is forever. He is forever good. He's never going to send me without. He's the most trustworthy thing in my life. They gave because they were engaged in the mission of Jesus Christ, the spreading of the gospel. And church, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be engaged in the gospel message. And in fact, here at Engage Church, we all know our mission is clear, engaging our community for Jesus. And I am convinced that there is no better way to live that out than by being generous. By being generous with our time, our resources, our care, and our hearts. Imagine what would happen in New Sharon and our communities, anywhere where we have a sphere of influence. What would happen if our church people, became known for not what they had, but instead for what they gave? We have a church building. We have the Rock Center. We have a giant parking lot. We have a house. We have a house. We have a gravel park. We have a lot. What if we were not known for our facilities, but instead we were known for what we gave? What if our church became known as the most generous people in New Sharon? Not because we're rich, but because we're real. I so desire that to be what we are known for someday. Not that we mow our yard regularly, not that we have landscaping, not that we try to make things look nice and we try to do things with perfection. Those are all key. But I'd rather be known for the outpouring of our generosity than how well we can keep our facilities looking. Do you agree with me this morning? Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you would, just bow your head, close your eyes. Before we close this morning, I want to speak to any of you that are here today who has yet to experience God's wonderful gift of generosity through personal relationship with Christ Jesus. The greatest act of generosity in history wasn't the church selling land. It wasn't the church selling their homes and their belongings. The greatest act was God giving His Son, Jesus, for you, for your family, for your kids. So this morning, maybe you don't have that personal relationship. Maybe you've stepped away for a moment. But if you're ready this morning to receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of purpose, the gift of eternal life, would you just raise your hand this morning right where you're at? As we close today, I know that they're getting food ready. I promise it'll be ready in 10 minutes. And it may be ready now, but I want to take time. It'll be ready when it's the right time to be ready. The most important for us to do is to not leave here today unchanged. Is to not walk out of here because we want to be first in line for food, but rather to be in the presence of God and to let Him change our lives, to transform us. This morning, maybe God is prompting you to let go of something. Maybe you've been clenching your fist. You're holding too tightly to your time. You're holding too tightly to your comfort. You're holding too tightly to your resources. During this time, the altar is open. I'm encouraging every one of us today to ask of the Lord, what does generosity look like for me this week? What does this week look like to be able to add some generosity to it? And let me encourage you with this. Be open to His voice. Be open to how He will lead you. If you ask, He will surely lead. And maybe He'll lead you to meet a need that you didn't know that was there. Maybe He'll lead you to bless someone anonymously. Maybe he'll lead you to give and make you a little uncomfortable in your giving. The altar is open, church. We do not have to rush down to food. Let me encourage you to come forward to spend some time in prayer. Find somebody to pray with next to you. If you don't want to come to the altar, pray with somebody. Let's just take a few moments in response. Not out of guilt, not out of compulsion, but out of gratitude. Because he gave, we can give. So let's be a church that's marked by open hands that are ready to give, ready to serve, and ready to love. Amen? Amen.